Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret is Prayer podcast. And let's get started. Loden.
Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us together to study your word. Give us the wisdom and the insight that we need to understand it and to apply it in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we left off with in chapter 25 when Esau sells his birthright. So he's really hungry and starving, and Jacob
took advantage of that.
Took advantage of that and offers him a bowl of soup and for in exchange for his birthright. But you know, 25 ends with Esau despised his birthright. So he was careless with his birthright. He didn't think it was important. He didn't think he needed it. And we're gonna read here in these next chapters how he'll come to regret that. And I think too, you know, it left me thinking last time how careless are we with our birthright? Because we all have the same birthright. You know, we can all claim it. And we,
right,
you know, what do we choose? How careless are we with that birthright to choose, you know, the Lord our God as our God? And how many of us don't, you know, we're careless with it, right? And we don't care whether we have it or not. So,
exactly.
Okay, so I'll jump into 26, the promise reaffirmed to Isaac. So so remember, Isaac had the twin boys, Esau and Jacob. So there was another famine in the land in addition to the one that had occurred in Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, at Gerar. The Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land that I tell you about. Stay in this land as an alien, and I will be with you and bless you." So, and I wanted to point out here how first there's a famine. So there's nothing easy about, you know, their way of life. Even back then, there's another famine. And that might have been why they kept moving, you know, because of all the stuff that's going on. But, you know, God tells them, do not go down to Egypt. So don't go back to Egypt, and to stay, to live in the land that he told him about. So, and to live as an alien, you know, so he tells them, like, you're just an alien in this land. You are not, you know, so that's a good reminder for us too, that we're just
like us,
mm-hmm. like us. We're just aliens. It's temporary. This land is temporary. And he tells them, "And I will be with you and bless you, for I will give you all these lands to you and your offspring, and I will confirm the oath that I swore to your father Abraham." So God's already talking to, you know, to Isaac. And he tells him, "I will give you your offspring, all these lands, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring, because Abraham listened to me and kept my mandate, my commands, my statutes, and my instructions." So Isaac settled in Gerar. So there, you know, God tells them, "Hey, you know, it's passing down to you, you know, and because Abraham listened to me, and because Abraham kept my mandate, and because he kept my commands and my statutes and my instructions, because he was obedient, you know, you can now you have this, you're inheriting, you know, his covenant, his blessings." Right. So I think that's very important for us to know too, that how, I think we all have that option too, that if we show obedience, if we do what Abraham did, if we listen to him, we keep his mandates, we keep his commands, you know, and we try and follow his instructions. We know that Abraham made mistakes, but he did go back, return to the Lord every time, that our children can also be blessed, that we can also pass that on to the next generation. So, okay. So Isaac's deception. When the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." Really?
I read that and thought,
I know. I was like, "Are you?" I'm like, "Am I reading this right?" Yes. So now Isaac is following what his dad did, even the wrong. Exactly, even the wrong. So let's, you know. So it goes to show how much, you know, we affect, you know, because we're being watched, whether we like it or not, we're being watched, and our children learn from us. So
right.
He presents his wife as his sister, you know, for he was afraid to say my wife, thinking that the men of the place will kill him on account of Rebecca, for she is a beautiful woman. And I'm like, man, they have these beautiful women, and instead of thinking I must protect her, right. they're like, you know, they
using her to
protect themselves. And yeah. And but what we're gonna see here next
is that selfishness.
Mm-hmm. It's that selfishness. When Isaac had been there for some time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from the window and was surprised to see Isaac caressing his wife, Rebecca. So the king's, you know, he tried to lie, but then the king saw him caressing her. So he knew, he tells them, so she's really your wife. How could you say that she is my sister? And Isaac answered him, because I thought I might die on account of her. Then Abimelech said, what is this you've done to us? One of the people could easily have slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us. So Abimelech warned all the people, whoever harms this man or his wife will certainly be put to death. So I wanted to point out how first that they knew that Isaac, who Isaac was, and that he was blessed and that he was of the Lord, right? And how even the pagan, those that didn't believe, knew not to touch a married woman because it would bring guilt and they would certainly be put to death. Right. So they see the severity of how important marriage is and the severity of, you know, having a relationship with someone who's already married with the wife. So right. even they
back then knew,
saw that, you know, so but in turn, Isaac, instead of protecting himself too, like, hey, we're married, we need to protect that. He's like, well, let's say you're my sister. And so, and also that even though Isaac couldn't protect her and Abraham couldn't protect Sarah, not couldn't, but that they chose not to, that God did protect them, you know? So even where the men failed to protect their wives, God stepped in. And he protected them. So I thought that was. But even then,
you would think, why didn't Isaac know how God was faithful to his father, not even put his faith in God? Like, I don't have to worry. She's my wife. He'll protect us.
Well, and I think that we can all relate to that, because I think we put boundaries on God, and maybe we trust him with our children, but we don't trust him with our husbands or our marriage, you know, or we trust him with our family, but we don't trust him with our finances, or we trust him with our careers, but not with, you know,
there's always something that we're
like, I think we have control. We compartmentalize. Yes. You know, and we don't, when we should be taking everything to God, because by then Isaac should have known how much God did for Abraham. I mean, it's there. He saw how rich he was. You know, he could see, he knows, I'm sure he knew the story and all that stuff. So he could see how much God helped Abraham, and how Abraham's faith was too towards, you know, before he died, that he would know to take everything to God, but even Abraham failed at that. And I think we do that too, that we don't think to take everything to him, like we only take certain things to him.
That's true.
That's a big mistake,
right? Because I guess there's little things in our lives where we just can't release that control.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, how true.
So conflicts over the wells. Isaac sowed seed in that land, and in that year he reaped 100 times what was sown. So, you know, God's already blessing Isaac here, you know, he's reaping 100 times what was sown. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and kept getting richer until he was very wealthy. He had flocks of sheep, herds of cattle, and many slaves, and the Philistines were envious of him. And I think we can, you know, we see that too, right? The envious, one of the worst things we can be, but here we see that God's blessing Isaac, and the people are seeing that, and they're becoming very envious of him. So they start Isaac had put several wells, and so the Philistines start stopping those wells. They start putting dirt in the wells so that they can't use the wells. They start filling them with dirt. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Leave us, for you are much too powerful for us." So because of envy, the Abimelech, the king, tells them to leave us. So Isaac had to leave there. So Isaac left there, camped in the Gerar Valley, and lived there. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, and that the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. He gave them the same names his father had given them. Then Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of spring water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, "The water is ours." And then he built another well and he named it Esek. And because they argued with him again, they quarreled over it and they took that well away too. So he moved from there and dug another, and they did not quarrel over it. So he dug two wells, and the first one he named it Contention, and then the second he named it Opposition because of what was happening with the Philistines, right? So, but I think we can see how, because sometimes we have to move too, right? Sometimes the people around us might become envious or you know, things are not going well, and we have to also move. With this, Isaac did trust God with it, so he started moving to find, he knew he could stay in that land, but the Philistines had told him to leave, so he started moving, you know, and then he was digging new wells, but the Philistines kept taking it from them. But I thought it was interesting how he named one Contention and the other Opposition. You know, the things that he was facing as he was trying to find a place to settle. Yeah. You know, like, so, but he didn't give up. He kept moving, and he had to keep, you know, digging the wells, and that's not easy work. So that he had to keep working. And I thought that showed endurance. I think that was that the one for the verse for today? It was about endurance. Remember, endurance builds perseverance. It was yesterday's or today's yesterday's. It might have been yesterday's, but I thought of that. So, and I think we can relate to that too, how we sometimes, you know, come against contention or opposition, and how we need to learn to give that to God, but to keep moving, you know, and to have faith that God's going to find a place for us to settle and find peace, because then he finally digs another well, and he names that one he named that one Hehoboth, and that means roominess. So it was a little far off, and he named that one roominess, and so there they didn't fight him over that one. So maybe God was trying to get him away from the Philistines, isolate him for them to settle in this other area. And so and Isaac sees that. He says, "For now the Lord has made space for us, and we will be fruitful in the land."
So is this the well from in Samaria where the woman at the well will be? She said, "Jacob dug this well." Is this the well, you think?
Oh, maybe.
I wonder, because it doesn't say a name in the
try and remember that when we get to that.
Because he dug a lot of wells.
Or we'll look it up for our next podcast to give an update. But but I thought, you know, we could relate to that. Or we have to keep moving, not give up, and continue to work. You know, like, don't just give up and sit there and be like, "Oh, we don't have no water." No, he had to keep moving and trust God, right? You know, that he would find the right place for them. And so the Lord appears to Isaac. From there, he went up to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him that night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your offspring because of my servant Abraham." So he built an altar there. So Isaac built an altar there, called on the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. Isaac's servants also dug a well there. So then they dug another well there. So because to have the wells meant that was kind of like claiming, you know, where you are, because you had the wells of the land. Yeah. So And so he dug another well there. So, but I like how God tells them, you know, he reaffirms that he's there, you know, that I am your God. I'm here. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. So, and I'm like, okay, so he could do that with the well, but he couldn't do that with his wife.
Right.
But I guess like back, you know, it's just, but either way, God stepped up for the wives, you know, and we need to remember that, that even though back then, for whatever reason, the men didn't see the wife as important, I guess, God did. God always did, you know, so.
That's right.
So the covenant with Abimelech. So now Abimelech comes back to him after kicking them out of where he wasn't taking away his wells, and tells them, we have clearly seen how the Lord has been with you. We think there should be an oath between two parties, between us and you. Let us make a covenant with you. You will not harm us, just as we have not harmed you, but have done only what was good to you, sending you away in peace. You are now blessed by the Lord. So I think that's confirmation, you know, that God allowed it. And now here they are and making peace with him, you know, that even with the enemy, because they kicked them out and they took away his wells. Now we're making peace with them, mm-hmm. with him. So that God is in control, and God was keeping him safe. That might have been a fear that he had, and God's reaffirming, like, I'm with you. You don't have to be afraid.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, exactly.
And that should be confirmation for us, too.
Yes. I thought that was, because sometimes we miss that, you know, and you know, fear can really trap you. You know, you can fall into that trap, and that can turn bad quickly.
Right.
But here, God keeps reassuring him. So then they have a banquet and they become good neighbors. And then, and here he does say, on that same day, Isaac's servants came to tell him about the well, or the second well that they had dug, saying to him, "We have found water." He called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is still Beersheba today. So he did name it. So, okay, Esau's wives. So then Esau, because remember, Isaac has a twin. So Esau, it was the one that that God had told him that they were going to, remember, they were going to be at each other, and they were each going to have different nations. And Esau then was 40 years old. He took as his wives Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. So Esau starts taking wives. Remember, God had told them not to take wives there. And so I think he had told Abraham not to let Isaac take a wife there. Remember, Isaac went for Rebekah. But then here you have now Isaac's sons taking the wives there. So,
or one Isaac, of them, you know, at least.
One of them taking, So, you know, Isaac should have... I think Isaac should have stepped in there, you know, and prayed for wives for both of them, you know, in the same way that that Abraham prayed for Isaac.
Right.
Remember that he sent his servant to go find the wife for
So right
for
there, Isaac. I guess we can see where the parent failed the child. Because I think sometimes we feel like we do fail our kids one way or another.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it shows us how we can go to God even for that, you know, and they might have seen that that's not important. Like, they're worried about the land and the land and the goats and the riches, but he doesn't seem so concerned with what's happening with his sons, you know?
Right.
Because remember the last time they each picked a favorite.
That's so, what I was going to say. Yeah. Because we don't even see Rebecca in this part. It's just, you know.
And it says they made the life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah, you know, but had they prayed and taken that to God also, then maybe that would have prevented that. So the stolen blessing. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could not see, he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Look, I am old and do not know the day of my death. So now take your hunting gear, your quiver and bow, and go out in the field to hunt some game for me. Then make me a delicious meal that I love and bring it to me to eat so that I can bless you before I die." So remember, Esau had given up his birthright, right? But here, because Esau was Isaac's favorite, Isaac here is trying to pass on the blessing to Esau and not Jacob. So, but then Rebecca overhears the conversation. And, you know, she was listening to what Isaac said to his son Esau. So while Esau went to the field to hunt some game for his dad, Rebecca said to her son, Jacob, listen, I heard your father talking with your brother Esau. He said, bring me game and make a delicious meal for me to eat so that I can bless you in the Lord's presence before I die. Because, you know, Isaac thought that he was dying already. But then we later learned that he ended up living, I think, like another 40 years or 20 years or something.
And, you know, right here, you see that where the parents are kind of divided too. Instead of them talking and saying, who are we going to bless? Which child?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's just like,
no, it's a favoritism again.
It's a favoritism. And, you know, that's something they could have taken to God. How are we going to, you know, how should we proceed, God? Or how can we bless both our sons? We love them both, you know?
Right.
And, but no, they're already scheming. So now my son, listen to me and do what I tell you. Go to the flock and bring me two choice young goats, and I will make them into a delicious meal for your father, the kind he loves. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies. So then Jacob answers him, you know, because he couldn't see. Isaac couldn't see. So then Jacob answers his mother, Rebecca, and says, look, but my brother Esau is a hairy man. Apparently he was as hairy as a goat.
And red.
Is he? But he goes, but I am a man with smooth skin. Suppose my father touches me, then I will be revealed to him that as a deceiver and bring a curse rather than a blessing to myself. So Jacob there knows that what he's doing is wrong.
What's right and
so does Rebecca, because Rebecca then tells them, your curse will be on me, my son. Just obey me and go get them for me. So, you know, they know that it's wrong. And I wanted to point out that God will never ask you to sin to bring forth a promise. He will never ask you to sin. So if he promised something, you can trust in that promise. You know, you can believe in that promise. And you will not have to sin to make it to pass. And we saw that before when he made the promise to Abraham and Sarah, when Sarah brought Hagar and with Ishmael and all that stuff. Like, God will not, when God makes a promise, he's going to make it come to pass. And we don't know how that's going to happen, and we don't know when, but it's never going to require for you to disobey or to sin against God in order to make that to pass. That's not going to happen. So here you already see that they're scheming, they're having a lie and all that. So they're already, you know,
they're probably too far in to back out now.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
so they're not even thinking about what God, you know, they're looking at all the wrong things. No. They're focusing at on all the wrong pluses. Things.
They're not thinking about the, I guess, the negative. No. You know?
Yeah. They're thinking about the riches. Right. They're not thinking about the consequences. No. So then Jacob goes in, you know, Rebecca makes the food for him. And then Jacob goes in, and then, when he came to his father, he said, my father. And he answered, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob replied to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how did you ever find it so quickly, my son? And then he replied, because the Lord your God made it happen for me. Now he's lying that God helped them find the So it's like,
I just wanted to be like, better move over for lightning strikes.
It's like, because God, you know, and it's like, oh, but it almost
seems to Isaac asks, you know, who are you? Who are you? So it's kind of like he knew in a way.
And
right.
Because God had already told him that it wasn't going to be, God had already told him that the blessing would go to Jacob, because when he said that, Esau would serve Jacob. So Isaac already knew. So then he tells him, please come closer.
Well, and the mom knew too, right?
The mom should have known too. Yeah, the mom should have known
too. Told them when they were in the womb, right?
So, yes, right. Yeah. Are you really my son, Esau? So he's asking him, right? And so Jacob came closer to his father Isaac. So when he touched him, he said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. So he knows, like he sees it already, you know. Not yeah. sees it, but he knows. He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. Again, he asked, are you really my son, Esau? But that goes to show, too, how Isaac was determined to give the blessing to Esau and not to Jacob, you know? Right. And so, right. And then Jacob replies, I am. Then he said, bring it closer to me and let me eat some of my son's game so that I can bless you. So then Isaac ends up giving the blessing to Jacob, right? He ends up giving the blessing mm-hmm. to Jacob. And then as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob and Jacob had left the presence of his father Isaac, his brother Esau arrived from his hunting. He had also made some delicious food and brought it to his father. He said to his father, let my father get up and eat some of his son's game so that you may bless me. But his father Isaac said to him, who are you? He answered, I am Esau, your firstborn son. And Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably. So it goes to show how he knew, you know, how important it right. was.
Right.
And so he goes, who was it then? He said, who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it all before you came in and I blessed him. Indeed, he will be blessed. And so when Esau heard his father's words, he cried out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me too, my father. But he replied, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. So he said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me twice now. He took my birthright and now look, he has taken my blessing. So first for Isaac to think that he could take control and give, you know, he chooses who he blesses, you know, because I think even though he thought that the blessing was going to come from God, just how God had did it for Abraham and then, you know, and then did it for Isaac. So the blessing was going to come for God. I don't even think that it was for him to be doing it that way. You know, that was just him being, he was wrong for what he was doing. Isaac was wrong. And then, and then here we see where Esau
right.
is crying out in regret. Like, I've lost my birthright and now I lost my blessing. But it's kind of like where you had it coming. No, he doesn't repent. He feels mm-hmm. worldly regret, but not godly, no. you know, repentance. Right. So he just regretted that, you know, he was being selfish, that he lost his birthright and that now he lost his blessing.
But I like how he says, you know, well, not like, but like he's, well, Jacob took it, like if he stole it, but he right. gave it to him. Even though it was a sneaky way, Jacob.
Yeah.
But he should have known.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
He didn't think it was important at that time. You know, he was careless with it. Like he right. didn't see it for what it was. He was careless.
So it's almost like we see Abel and Cain again.
Yes.
Like just in a different manner, I guess. So
right.
to speak, with birthrights rather than the first fruit. Right.
Yeah. Yes, because it comes again, you know, to one being selfish and then and prideful and then the other one being more because Jacob was wrong, too. You know, Jacob right. here, like they're all wrong, like they're all of them. They're all. Making very bad choices, you know,
yeah,
all of them. So then not only that. So Esau's anger. You know, he held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. And Esau's determined in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. So now he's planning revenge. Mm-hmm. You know, he's already has it in his heart. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill my brother.
Right.
Kill my brother. As soon as my dad dies, I'm going to kill my brother. But yeah. then Isaac doesn't die right away. So then Rebecca goes and tells.
So there's the Lord working again too, right?
During this right, time. Against yeah. him. But it goes to show right. how Esau's heart is just in the wrong place. You know, he's not repenting. He now has all this anger, that so much anger that he wants to go and kill his brother, you know?
And I can also see God's plan. We already knew that the younger one was, the older one will serve the younger one. So no matter how he got to this point, it still went to where it needed to go.
Exactly. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yep, exactly. Like they weren't able to deter God's plan, you know? Right. And it goes to show how they're making these choices. They're choosing this. This is not God's doing. They're going in and they're making these choices, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So then when Rebecca finds out that Esau is planning to kill Jacob, she goes and tells Jacob, "Go, you must leave. You know, you must leave until your brother's anger settles. And you must go to my brother's house, Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's anger subsides. So until your brother's rage turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him." And I was like, he's not going to forget. "Then I will send for you and bring you back from there. Why should I lose you both in one day?" And what Rebecca here doesn't realize is she's sending him away and he doesn't return for 20 years.
No.
So Rebecca said to Isaac, "I'm sick of my life because of these Hittite girls. If Jacob marries someone from around here like these Hittite girls, what good is my life?" So you see how miserable Rebecca is, because now her sons, they're trying to kill each other. You know, Isaac is dying. And so they're miserable. They're miserable.
Right.
And Esau's now married to these women.
So you think there could be some type of consequences for her
Yes. Because they're not, look where God, it doesn't show where they're going to God for any of it. And it just, you know,
it doesn't go well.
They go to God for the land and the riches and all of that stuff, but then they don't go to God for their, for the family. And I think that's a huge mistake that we make.
Control the big parts of our life. Even the smallest part of our life.
It should be, we should go to God about everything, even what we think may be very small or unimportant. All we should take all of it to God. And so
we don't get to pick and choose, basically, too, right? There's no
because look how God helped Abraham with Sarah,
right?
You know, and to have an heir, and then to then removing Hagar and Ishmael, and then, you know, and making them rich, and then, you know, giving them all the land and all that stuff, and then blessing Isaac, you know, with Rebecca, and, you know, all of that. Like he was teaching Abraham, and that was for, I think that was for Abraham to pass on to Isaac, but we don't see where Abraham passed on to Isaac. So he might have missed some or been more firm, or it might have been that Isaac took it upon himself not to do that. But I think, had they prayed on it, I think that God would have helped them in the same way that he helped Abraham, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Because she went, remember when they were fighting in her room, she went to God and God answered her. So why not continue to go to God to help her, you know, so that they don't do that, but instead they choose their favorites. Right.
Yeah.
And as long as they're doing it their own way, God's going to step back and say, okay.
Right. Until we need his help and we repent. I think that's one of the main things, right? We need to repent to be aligned with
Repent him. And return. Repent and return to him. You know, when we do stray, because remember, Abraham did make several mistakes, but he would return to him. Remember, and he would build him the altar and then he would return to him. So, and we need to learn. We need to learn from, you know, our elders. And even when we don't know, we can always go to God too. So Jacob's departure. So Isaac summoned Jacob, blessed him, and commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite girl. Go at once to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father. Marry one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you so that you may become an assembly of peoples. May God give you and your offspring the blessing of Abraham so that you may possess the land where you live as a foreigner, the land God gave to Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob to Padan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel of the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. So to the uncle. Esau noticed that Isaac blessed Jacob and sent him to Padan Aram to get a wife there. When he blessed him, Isaac commanded Jacob, do not marry a Canaanite girl. And Jacob listened to his father and mother and went to Padan Aram. Esau realized that his father Isaac disapproved of the Canaanite woman. So Esau went to Ishmael and married, in addition to his other wives, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son. So was the sister of Naboth. So then Esau now sees that. So you see, I think that could have happened because after the fact, after he married the other pagan women, then Esau goes and marries one of the Abraham. Daughters of Ishmael, you know?
Right.
So then that goes to show where had they both had Isaac had told him in the beginning, y'all can't marry the women from here. You know, you can't marry these women. You have to marry. Then maybe that would have saved a lot of headaches, you know? And headache, so, so yeah, I think that there's a lot to learn there in how we can go to God for even that, you know, for our children so that they marry somebody that God approves of, you know, somebody that's going to lead them to God and not away from it. Okay, so then Jacob at Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He reached a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. He took one of the stones from the place, put it there at his head, and lay down in that place. And he dreamed. A stairway was set on the ground with its top reaching the sky, and God's angels were going up and down on it. The Lord was standing there beside him, saying, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your offspring the land on which you are lying. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out towards the west, the east, the north, and the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Look, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. So when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So Jacob has that dream and he sees, you know, I think it's the one that where they call Jacob's ladder, where he sees the angels ascending and descending, and the Lord is standing next to him. And you know, God is telling him, reaffirming that covenant that, hey, I'm with you. You know, your offspring are going to be blessed, just like I told, you know, your father Isaac and Abraham. And Jacob feels it like, oh, wow. Like he feels like God is with me. You know, I'm in the right place. God is with me and all that. But then early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that was near his head and set it up as a marker. He poured oil on top of it and named the place Bethel, though previously the city was named Luz. Then Jacob made a vow. So now Jacob makes a vow to God. But he says, if God will be with me and watch over me during this journey I am making, if he provides me with food to eat and clothing to wear, and if I return safely to my father's family, then the Lord will be my God.
I never noticed that.
Like, you fool. And it's like, what? And here, well, God, question, you know.
My question too was going to be like, so God went to him, gave him the promises, but it's like,
he should have turned around and instead he should have said, you know, in thankfulness, built an altar there like Abraham did. I'm going to build an altar and give thanks. Yes. And repent and give thanks. Right. You know, that because instead of saying, because you will be with me, God, because you are watching over me during this journey, God, because you know, you are providing for me, and you know, you will provide food for me, and you will provide, like, in, you know, believing in what, in the promise that God just made. He's like, if, and then the Lord will be my God. So yeah, already you see a huge disconnect there from, you know, Jacob and where Abraham and Isaac were. But remember how long it took Abraham too for his faith too. But I would have hoped that,
right,
that it would have been passed on to Jacob, that he would have known better, right? But I mean, unless we tell our children and repeatedly tell them.
Where it comes through with the parents too, because Isaac should have shared with both his boys, but he mm-hmm. chose what to share here and there.
There, right.
And instead of bringing them together.
Because they shouldn't have, I would have thought that they would have gone back to God and said, I can't choose between my sons, right. Lord, please bless them both. You know, that they're, you know,
a great nation together,
or that they're both of their nations are great, and that they, you know, help each other or something, you know, and not to choose
right.
between them. I don't want to choose between them, Lord, but let it be your will. But you know right. what? I mean, there's just so many.
Yeah.
So many,
and God
there.
Has been able to change his mind too. So you can always go to him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
So this stone that I have set up as a marker will be God's house, and I will give to you a tenth of all that you give me. So he's like, then I will make you my God, and then, and I'll give you a tenth of all you give me.
But you know,
and I'll pay you.
But God does walk with Jacob, you know? So, I mean, right there, it is a little confusing to me, because it's more like, Jacob, you didn't repent. And then you're saying only, like, only if you're doing these things, but he still walked with him though, right?
He still walked with him, but remember, I think that because God's not gonna back out of his promise. You know, he already made him that promise. So God's not gonna back out of his promise. Okay. So because remember, isn't it Jacob the one that his hip?
He wrestles with Jesus.
Oh, yeah, he wrestles with Jesus. So I think that he's still, you know, he's learning, and I think we all there's that journey. But I think had he,
well, but I guess that's us, right?
That's yeah.
If you can help me here, I'll do this.
Yes, I can totally remember being there. You know, if it, you know, and because you doubt, and then,
right?
You know, I don't know. So, so that's it. That's chapter 28. So we did 26, 27, and 28, and I think I don't want to jump into the next chapter because it'll be about Rachel, Jacob, and meets Rachel. So, but I think there's a lot there that we can meditate on and learn and use, you know, in our own families, that we can go to God not only with the big things, but with the little things, you know. And
it kind of shows us too, you know, if as parents we need to go to God to help us guide our kids, because we as humans can make mistakes with our kids too,
right? And remember, Genesis started with God wanting godly offspring.
Right.
So I think if we go to him with, you know, petitions and prayer for godly children, that he would guide us in that way, you know, that he would, that right. he'll guide them, give us the wisdom to guide them, and so that they also follow him, you know, because then they're gonna have their children, and so we see here how things are changing, how much they lose between generations, you know.
Yeah,
one, I think that's kind of goes to where we as spouses, we pray for our husbands. We can't change them. We can't change our kids. Only God can get them through their own journey. So we have to make sure and let God guide them as he's guiding us too. You know?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And trust them. Mm-hmm. And Yvette, you have a closing prayer for us?
I do. First Kings, Solomon's blessing. May the Lord our God be with May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he not abandon us or leave us, so that he causes us to be devoted to him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commands, statutes, and ordinances, which he commanded our ancestors. Be wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commands as it is today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.